listening to the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network.
It's the podcast in the Broadcast Basement.
Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name is Chris Lanuti, the host Craig Toth, joining us this week on vacation. I love this, man. I'm looking at the video screen right now. Where are you at?
I'm sitting inside my condo. I wanted to get it set up so I could be out on the deck and everything, but I guess I forgot my extension cord. So I'm sitting in the condo, just hanging out, having some beers.
But where are you at? Are you like in Florida?
We're in Madeira Beach, Florida, right outside of Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. A lot of minor league ballparks around here. Went down and checked out. Actually, to tell you the truth, I should have told you this before we were done, before we started here. I actually got to see the number one prospect in minor league baseball, Wander Franco, play. Because that's who the Bradenton Marauders were playing. They were playing the Charlotte Stone Crabs. And guess what he did? Struck out, bases loaded, down by a run, and then just pouts and doesn't sign one single autograph, walks past all of us while everybody's screaming his name. And I'm like, what a chump.
So Wander Franco, in your opinion, a total chump, and was so angry at the end of a minor league game that he just lost it.
He just lost it. Well, here's the thing is, dude, his fielding, everything. I mean, he did get a triple the one time, which should have probably been like a single for anybody else. I mean, this guy was flying around the base paths and everything he did was smooth. I mean, just like fielding the ball. He tagged a couple of our runners out on bad throws by the catcher. I mean, the dude's going to be a stud, but I just kind of wanted his autograph and I wanted my son and my two little cousins to get his autograph, but the guy just walked right past it.
Were you wearing all of your Pirates stuff? Maybe he's like, after I lose a game, I don't sign for the opposing team, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, I did have my Bradenton Marauders hat on, so maybe he's just like, you know what, I'm not. But here's the thing is, everybody, I actually know my son had a Bradenton Marauders hat on too, so, but.
Yeah.
I did get, I don't know if this will ever be on video or whatever, but let's see, got Cal Mitchell. He's one of our outfielders to sign a baseball. And then a dude I definitely want to talk about is Mason Martin. This guy is our future first baseman. Everybody's saying Will Craig in AAA. Guess what? The dude's like 25. He's blocked by Josh Bell. There's no way that's ever going to happen. So he's not going to, it's not going to work out for him. So, I mean, we got Bell for like three more years. Mason Martin is a 20-year-old. He played in our low A, and now he's in our A advanced for Bradenton, but he played for Greensboro. And a lot of people should have already heard about him. The dude has cranked 28 home runs this season between low A and high A. And a lot of people, when they get bumped up, they hit like a little bump in the road or whatever. His numbers have actually gotten better. He was batting .262. Down in our low A, he's now batting .278. He's got he's got a ridiculous OPS. It's like .96. And people would say that's not sustainable. No, that is what he hits almost every league that he's in. But his numbers have gotten even better. He's got 5 home runs in like 24 games since he's been called up. I mean, this dude is our future first baseman. And a lot of people are like, oh no, Will Craig. I'm like, no, we can get rid of Will Craig.
So in your mind, you would just dump Craig and try to get something for him because you feel like Bell's the guy. He's going to block him. There's nowhere to put Craig anyway. Can't put Craig out in a corner outfield position, anything like that. Dump him to get more prospects or to be able to pick up maybe dump him as a prospect to get a bigger piece to help you compete.
Yeah, and that's what we've been, I think we talked about on one of our previous shows. I wanted them to do that back before the All-Star break. We were 44 and 45, and now we've dropped. We've only won four games since the All-Star break, lost 21 as of this point, as of this recording. I wanted them to do that to try to do something to make our team better. Felipe Vasquez, he's going to the Dodgers. We're going to get Lux. We're going to get May. We're going to get Ruiz. We're going to get this. We got none of that. We got nothing. And we did nothing at the trade deadline. We didn't try to upgrade. We didn't try to get more prospects. I don't know if you saw. I mean, we traded Jordan Lyles, who was in the tank, but then pitched against us and won. So, and then we got like a double A average arm back. We trade Corey Dickerson, who has two home runs already for the Phillies. And, we got back, I think it was like $250,000 in international bonus money and a player to be named later who still hasn't been named. And it's not like everybody's saying, oh, we could get a good player to be named later. I'm like, no, the only person that does that is freaking Neil Huntington. Neil Huntington, their player to be named later in the Chris Archer trade after we already gave them Glasnow and Austin Meadows was our 2017 number one draft pick, Shane Baz, who... Here's my thing. I've listened to a lot of other podcasts. It's like if the Rays want to trade with you and they want this prospect, then you should be looking at him going, why do they want this guy? His spin rate on his fastball is like top four in the minors already. And that's why they wanted him. And the Pirates couldn't see that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
This year, with the different trade deadline, it was interesting to see how teams handled it. Because I think a lot of teams sat around and thought to themselves, okay, we're just going to handle it the same way. Who cares if it's a hard trade deadline? And they got themselves trapped because you could ask for bigger names like Ruiz or May from the Dodgers for a relief pitcher back then. And if it didn't work out for you playing hardball, you could still get something done later during that month of August where you could pass guys through waivers. But you can't play hardball to a point where you get nothing done. And the teams that blinked got things done. And that's why the Diamondbacks did so well. If you look at how they approached it, they may be the blueprint for the trade deadline going forward. The Diamondbacks sat there and said, we're going to go make all the moves we need to make first, the minor moves, just in case we're able to pull off the Greinke deal. Because if you notice, they grabbed Zach Gallen from Florida, and they grabbed Mike Leake, and they grabbed the things that they would need to have if they moved on from Greinke. They got the prospects from other areas, and they started to reform their team. But they didn't do the big thing until right at the end, because they realized it's all over at 3 p.m. Eastern time on July 31st, and teams that didn't think that way ended up asking for too much and getting nothing and looking stale at the deadline.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, that was what Neil Huntington did. I was just like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, we're going to get one of these guys. We're going to get something. I mean, if it was like Lux or nothing, then that's just stupid. I mean, we have no catching prospects in our, like, anywhere. And we knew we weren't going to get Smith because they had called him up already and said, oh, he's our everyday catcher. But then you have Ruiz, who would have automatically come in, been our number one catching prospect, probably jumped into our top five very easily. And like I said, we'll never know exactly what was offered unless somebody's going to leak something out. But he got nothing done. And here's the thing is, right now, since the All-Star break, since like the trade deadline, all this other stuff happened, he has only pitched once in the past 12 days. Like, we have no use for him right now because we're not in games. When it is a close game and it's not a save opportunity, Clint Hurdle's making these terrible decisions to, like, not ever put him in. It's like, okay, we're down 3-2. We're going to try to come back in the bottom of the ninth. Oh, let me throw in Crick, who's been giving up home runs left and right. Let's do this instead of putting Vasquez in to basically try to get us in the same position. Then you give up, a Crick gives up a run, we're down 4-2, we get a run back, we lose 4-3. I mean, so I just don't, I don't know. Maybe he didn't get the offer.
Well, I think you're asking for too much for relief pitchers. I think that was obvious across the board, Major League Baseball. The teams thought too much of relief pitching. The teams that had the good relief pitchers asked for too much. That's the best way to put it. There were plenty of teams that had relief pitching that they were trying to move to the point where you didn't need to give up one of your top five prospects in your organization. And that's what you're looking for if you're asking for guys like Ruiz or May. That's how the Dodgers view that. They see that as you're asking for one of our top five prospects for a relief pitcher, and there's all kinds of relief pitching out there. I just think it was unrealistic to expect those names. And I think after you talk to them, when you get to 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 p.m., when it comes time for you to get close to that trade deadline, you have to at least consider, is it worth it to you to end up with nothing? Is this person going, do you want something or do you want nothing? And maybe to them, it's not worth moving on from the guy. You know, the most important thing is this, though. Now that the deadline is over and now that the team is falling out of contention, if you're not keeping a guy next year, it's time to move on and kind of clear up some of these log jams, right? It's time to get, like, I mean, you get rid of a few guys that you don't plan on bringing back in 2020 so you can get other guys at bats, correct?
Yeah, which is, I mean, the one good decision they made was getting rid of Jung Ho Kang, which we had been talking about.
I saw that on Twitter. I was like, oh, Craig's got to be so happy.
Oh, I was elated. I mean, I'm like almost speechless because it was just like they actually did the right thing. They DFA'd him. And then when nobody claimed him, guess what? They outright waived him. Like, he is gone. He is not a part of the Pirates, will not be a part of the Pirates. And it was just, like you said, I think before, it was like, you got to trim the fat off. And they did. But then they just go and do more stupid stuff. Like, basically saying, we're going to go to a 6-man pitching rotation, possibly. And they actually only right now have 4 pitchers up because they put Dario Agrizal back down in AAA. So right now you have Musgrove, Williams, Archer, and Brault. And Brault was like your number 7 or 8 to begin the season, and now he's pretty much your ace, and he still has like about a 4.09 or 03 ERA, I believe. So that's the other part we just get on is, so why is it Mitch Keller up again? I mean, I swear to God, it's almost like a broken record, Chris. It honestly is. We could pretty much, you know what? We should just record just one episode and play it over and over again, because it kind of seems like the Pirates, they just make stupid decisions over and over again. I mean, it's something that, as a Pirates fan, you want to see them at least have a goal, a plan. It's okay. Is our plan for 2020? Is it for 2021? Is it for 5 years from now? But at least have a plan. It seems like right now we traded Lyles and got barely anything back. We traded Corey Dickerson and so far have only gotten money back to sign some, you know, 16-year-old kid from like the Dominican Republic or Panama who might be on our team in like 5 years. So right now they've actually done nothing to make the team better for this year. They've done nothing to make the team better moving forward. And it seems like every single time they make a decision, it's like, oh, you made a good decision with Kang. And now you have Mitch Keller just basically still sitting down in AAA when you have a 4-man rotation current.
It's the middle of the show song. 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 Chris had nothing to put here, so he put this song. It's the middle of the show song.
Okay, well, let me ask you some quick questions here, okay? Because at this point, with the collapse post-All-Star break, and you almost have to start looking towards next year. So I'm just going to give you some names right off the cuff. You're not prepared for this. You tell me. You're the expert, okay? These are the guys that are going to be either free agents, or you're going to have to offer arbitration to, or you're going to have to pick up a team option. And I just want your gut reaction. What you're going to do with the decisions you have to make for them in the offseason. And then if your decision is not to keep them in 2020, then you probably want to, if they're blocking somebody, move them out of the way. So I want you to talk about that if they're blocking somebody. I'll go right down the list here, okay? We'll start with Francisco Cervelli. He's a free agent next year. I think it's pretty obvious he's not coming back, right?
He's not coming back, and I don't know. After we recorded the episode, he basically had an argument with DK Sports, Dijon Kovacevic. I don't even know how to really pronounce his name. He's probably going to kill me, but he's one of our, you know, he didn't record the interview and basically said, you know, Cervelli said, that's not what I said. I still want to catch. And now he's going back to catching duties and he's doing a light workout. But guess what? He's gone. He's never going to catch again. He's basically trying to get himself a job someplace to possibly never play again. So that's my gut reaction.
Okay. Starling Marte made $10.33 million in 2019. You either give him $2 million to go away at next year, or you give him $11.5 million next year. What do you do?
Oh, we keep him.
Okay.
Have you seen the guy? He's been our only hitter.
I know.
Since the All-Star break. I mean, he's basically, I think we have probably about 10 home runs since the All-Star break, and he's got like 8 of them.
Okay.
So, I mean, and you have nobody behind him in AAA that can come up and even play half as well in center field.
Okay, Chris Archer, you made that deal to get him. He made $7.67 million in 2019. You either give him $1.75 million to go away, or you pick up a $9 million team option, his first of 2 years of team options. You are?
I think that you have to keep him right now because right now, unless you go out and get somebody else in free agency to fill that spot. I mean, right now we have 4 guys in the pitching rotation, like I just said. If you bring Keller up, that's 5. And there's really, you got Agrizal, you've got JT Brubaker if he comes back from injury, and you have James Marvell, but you just have a bunch of nobody. So to me, unless you go out and do something in free agency in the offseason, which the Pirates never do, unless they pick up a journeyman like Lyles and then, you know, dish him at the trade deadline to get absolutely nothing back, I think it's probably an unpopular opinion, but Archer's actually been pitching better. He hasn't been like, he's not lights out or anything, but you got to have at least 5 or 6 guys as options next year. So I think you have to pick it up. I think unless you do something in the offseason, you got to pick up.
Okay, I'm going to give you a list of the other free agents, okay? No matter what level they're at in the system, guys that you have that you signed and you paid this year, and what is whether or not you would pick them up next year. And if I say a name that's not on the team, you go ahead and you correct me. Francisco Liriano, Melky Cabrera, Lonnie Chisenhall, and Brandon Maurer. Who do you?
Oh my God!
Who do you keep and who do you get rid of?
You said the worst name in the world, Lonnie Chisenhall, the dude that we've paid like $2.75 million to not even play a ball game this year.
I know. I was trying to figure out if he was even on the team.
No, he is on the team. He started his rehab. He started a rehab assignment down in AAA. Said he like re-injured his calf or something. It was like something terrible. Then they said he left the team to go home for personal reasons, which I was just like, I feel bad for the guy. Maybe it was like a death in the family. Maybe he has to take care of somebody who's sick or something. But then they say nothing about that. And now it's like, is he ever going to come back? He's technically still on the team. He's on our 40-man roster, but he just hasn't played at all for $2.75 million.
You could cut bait right now and bring up somebody who's on your 40-man roster and give them some at-bats here in the last couple of months. Liriano and Cabrera.
Oh, that's the big thing is I remember it was probably about 2 months ago. We were having a conversation and we were talking about, maybe it was like a month ago. We were talking about how teams were looking for Melky Cabrera. They wanted Melky Cabrera. We were throwing Dickerson at them. At that point, Dickerson was still down in AAA doing his rehab. We didn't know what we were going to get, you know. And all of a sudden, it gets to the trade deadline, and Huntington says, oh, we weren't getting back what we wanted for Cabrera.
You're only paying him $1.15 million. You could take a bucket of balls and justify it.
Oh yeah, that's the thing.
You could take a flyer on a single A prospect if you wanted to, and nobody would be like, "Well, you didn't get anything for him. You're only paying him $1.15 million."
Oh, that was the thing is, I was just like, "Why you?" If there was people that wanted him, and I think there was a market for him out there. I mean, you got a switch hitter. He can play right and left field. I mean, he's getting a little bit older, so his range isn't as good as it used to be, and everything, but. You can put him in the DH spot. It's just, he's and he's played well this year. So there was no, there's no way that there was like nothing out there for him. And it, my only thing was, I think I posted something on Twitter when I go on one of my rants, you know, and it was basically like, did they not trade him because they're thinking they can sign him in the offseason to like a similar deal? But my thing is I think at some point somebody's going to give him a little bit more money and he's going to be gone. So if he's, they must know something I don't know, which I mean, they could. But unless, you know, he said, I like playing here, you know, I'm going to come back next year. I'm going to come back for sign a 2-year deal or whatever. I mean, that could be a possibility. And if that happens, great. I mean, I like Melky. He's done well for the team. But it just didn't make any sense. Cause here's the other thing is you could have traded him. He's a free agent. And if he wanted to come back, you know what I mean? You could offer him that. In the offseason, he was going to be a free agent anyway.
Well, do you see Melky Cabrera blocking anybody right now? I mean, he's in the way of somebody you want to see at bats from right now.
I would definitely say there's some guys down in AAA, and that's the other thing, is they made stupid decisions because you trim the fat, you got rid of Jung Ho Gong. There's some guys that, you know, you put on like the longer IL and everything. And who do you bring up? You bring up Pablo Reyes, who is just a utility player who is fairly terrible. I mean, he's hitting below the Mendoza line, like way below the Mendoza line. And Eric Gonzalez, who was like one of our other great pickups in this offseason, you know, where our great signings. And it's almost like they want to see it, make it work. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, why aren't you bringing up Cole Tucker? Why aren't you bringing up Jason Martin? Like Jason Martin was up at the beginning of the year. I would see Melky as blocking him. Like, why aren't you bringing up Jason Martin? We had another guy who, he's an older guy. His name's Trayvon Robinson. I think he's around like 32 years old. He's played in maybe like less than 100 major league games in his career. He was sitting out in like an independent league or something. But the guy's been hitting like 310 the entire year in AAA. It's like, well, why did you even pick this guy up, put him in AAA, if you're not going to give him a shot at some point? It's absolutely ridiculous. So you bring up Eric Gonzalez and Pablo Reyes. So, I mean, you could have easily gotten rid of Melky Cabrera and you could get Jason Martin some at bats. And it's not like, I mean, you still have Starling Marte in center field. You have who would be rookie of the year if it wasn't for people like Pete Alonso and Tatis and Brian Reynolds. I mean, the dude's insane. He's so good. But yeah. And then I'm still on one of my tangents, freaking Liriano. Like, what is your plan for him? And there had to have been something, somebody wanted a decent left-hand reliever in their bullpen for a playoff run, for a World Series run or whatever it would be. And you could have gotten something back. You could have gotten something. You know what I mean? Well,
yeah, but think about it this way. You've named off now, I think during this podcast, like, 5, 6, maybe 7 guys who you're like, oh yeah, it would have been great if we could have gotten rid of this guy, and it'd be great if we got rid of this guy. But now think about that, multiply that by all the other teams that are in contention. That's why. That goes back to it. That's why you can't get those high-end prospects off of somebody, because the store, the shelves on the store are full. And that's the thing. They're full. And so you can't over-expect what you're going to get back from somebody. We're up against it right now, Craig, but before we get out of here, I'm curious, what's your core? Just take pitchers out of it. Who's your core out there on that field? Who is it that for 2020, who's your core? If you had to go around the horn right now, what's your lineup for 2020? Because they should be the guys that are probably getting the most at bats right now from here until the end.
I mean, if Josh Bell can ever get back to his, pretty much like,
he will.
Pre-June form, I'm hoping.
He's core.
Yeah, he's core.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely struggling. They've sat him down for a couple games. Hopefully he comes back and he's hitting again. Because he hasn't hit a home run in, it seems like, 2 years. But I mean, it's been like a month. He's at first base. Second base, I'm putting Kevin Newman in there. Kevin Newman is, get Adam Frazier out of there. Adam Frazier had one hot week, was named like NL Player of the Week, and Clint Hurdle keeps putting him in there every day. And I believe for the past month, he's been hitting like 178. Like, get him out of there. You got Newman in there. You got to bring up Cole Tucker. You got to get Cole Tucker some at bats. He is your shortstop of the future. Ke'Bryan Hayes, That is going to be, they're going to say Colin Moran. They're like, he's, now Colin Moran could be a nice utility guy. That's your utility guy. You get rid of Frazier, Colin Moran becomes your utility guy. Ke'Bryan Hayes is your starting, he's going to be your starting third baseman. Catcher? God.
Skip catcher. It'll make you upset. Your brain will hurt.
Not, I know.
Okay.
Outfield,
you got Marte and you got Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
So who's the third one out there?
Gregory Polanco, when he comes back from, he's doing some light stuff down here in Bradenton right now. I think he's hopefully going to get a rehab start.
Could you imagine if they went out right in the offseason, they picked up a catcher and they picked up an outfielder to join those two guys that I mentioned in Marte and Reynolds?
Oh, it'd be amazing. We need a catcher.
Right.
That's the thing is we don't have a Jacob Stallings is a good backup. Diaz is, he's garbage.
Okay.
I mean, he's
final thing. And we'll probably get into it in the next podcast a little bit more. Is Clint Hurdle still your manager that you want back there in 2020?
No, but he's going to be there. I keep on telling people it's going to be, Huntington's going to be the general manager. Hurdle's going to be your manager. And the worst part is any other team, if they went 4-21 out of the All-Star break, after being 2.5 games back at the All-Star break, you can't tell me that heads wouldn't be rolling.
And add into it the hijinks with the nonstop fighting with other teams that he seems to always be in the middle of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's always in the middle of it. When was the last time you saw Major League Baseball suspend a manager without any proof whatsoever because they're like, that's it, we're done with this? He's clearly telling his guys to throw at other players, and he's the only guy in Major League Baseball doing it. Look, if you're winning, you'll be like, hey, that's our guy, man, we're tough, blah blah, whatever. You can make up any excuse you want to. You come out of your All-Star break like that and you're playing those games, man, your focus is on the wrong thing, Clint. It might be time for you to move on.
Oh, I know. It's like it's just fighting with the Reds and absolutely fighting with Yasiel Puig.
I would never want to fight with Yasiel Puig.
That dude could destroy me. I'm just basically
Did you see the breakdown on, there's a breakdown that some guy did.
John Boy.
He does this breakdown where Chris Archer just gets destroyed throughout the entire thing.
And the funny thing is he got kicked out of the game.
Right. He focuses on Archer and all that happens is Archer just keeps getting knocked over. He never gets a punch in. He just keeps, people keep sitting on him and throwing him to the ground.
And the funny thing is he gets kicked out of the game for that. And they must have watched the same video and they must have been like, oh, that guy got the crap beat out of him. We can't suspend him.
Yeah. He got his ass kicked. That was insane.
He got tossed around. And the funny thing is, I think they got the suspensions fairly right on that one. Keona Kell is an absolute idiot for throwing up and over Dietrich. It was like the dumbest thing he's ever done.
And then he's yelling, that's baseball. That's not baseball. I'm sorry. I don't agree with it. It's not baseball, okay? You can kill a man doing that kind of thing or give him a brain injury or some kind of concussion, or you could take away his livelihood. You're mad at somebody, you hit him in the hip. They used to hit guys in the hip back in the old days. Anybody who thinks it's okay to throw at somebody's head is an idiot. It's, you don't throw at somebody's head, and that's the problem. The manager is telling his pitchers that's baseball. It's not baseball.
That is not baseball. And the part for me, is that who was it? Jared Hughes then hit Starling Marte in the ninth inning, and he plunked him like in the side, hip, like lower, you know,
right.
got him where you're supposed to
right,
get
right.
him. And then all of a sudden, Amir Garrett gets a 3-run dinger hit off of him, and he's getting taken out of the game, and he's just like, I'm going to fight all 25 guys on this team.
I don't know. I don't even feel like he was getting taken out of the game. He called, if you look at the replay, like he asked for the manager, for the guy to come out, for whoever was the fill-in manager in that game to come out, and then basically told him what he was going to do. He handed him the ball, told him what he was going to do.
Yeah, and then the guy smacked him on the butt. He's just like, go get him.
All right, go get him, boy. Let's have a fight. I mean, first of all, like from a fan standpoint of just like, that was just a fun video to watch. It was a fun video to watch. But
breakdown, if anybody hasn't seen that, you have to go.
But it should never have happened. And again, I'm sorry, but Clint Hurdle is the instigator, isn't he? Isn't the Pirates manager the instigator of all these problems? Hey, look, if every team has a problem with your manager, if you're getting into a fight with multiple teams across Major League Baseball, then he's the instigator of the problems. He's the guy that won't change. Now, if he's winning, you can make any excuse you want to. You come out of the All-Star break like that, your team isn't winning anything, maybe it's time to make a move. Maybe it's time for a new culture.
Yeah, it definitely has to be. Because, I mean, and the other part is that if he's not the instigator and it's not part of his mentality and his culture, what he could have done is as soon as Keon Akella threw the ball at Dietrich's head, he could have went and pulled him. But he didn't. He let him
go back in there. I've seen managers do that. I've seen managers go out there and grab a guy in the middle of it at bat after he does that because they don't want that happening.
Yeah, so if it wasn't, if it's something that he doesn't want to see happen, he could have went boom, took him out like right then and there. But then what's he do? He Dietrich strikes out on three pitches and everybody's just like, well, I probably would too. If there was a 90 some mile per hour fastball just thrown over my head and this guy is still pitching to me, I want to get out of that box as quickly as possible. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm probably not swinging the bat. I'm probably just standing there saying, I want to live. I don't want this to get hit. I don't even want to try to hit the ball. Just get me back to the dugout.
That's not the game. And that's not the game, man. That's not the game. Okay?
No, that's not how baseball works,
any meatball Pirates fan that's sitting around saying, like, that was the greatest thing ever, and go Clint Hurdle, I'm sorry. Terribly, terribly and sorely disagree with your outlook on baseball in general. It's bad.
Oh, there's probably some yinzer down at the Giant Eagle going, oh, yeah, I like that Clint Hurdle threw at this guy.
That's what you do. That's the game. Come on.
That's baseball. And it's like, no, that's not. That's baseball in that. No, it's not.
Another show is wrapped up. Another show's in the books. Another show is wrapped up. And then by the looks, it's going to be a good one. And we'll see you next week. And the nude is baseball. And the nude is baseball. Another show is wrapped up. Another show is wrapped up. Another show is wrapped up. And it's in the books. Another show is wrapped up. Another show is wrapped up. And by the looks, it's gonna be a good one. Nudie's Basement. Broadcast Basement. The Nudie's Basement. The Broad Basement.
Slauncha. That was like Dropkick Murphys or something, right? I felt like it.